Building Bridges, your community and labor report, brings you a news feature.
Today we continue the celebration of the birthday of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. It's crucial that we draw lessons from the life and struggles led by the Reverend King for civil rights, labor rights, and for all human rights. Today we focus on the Reverend King's last battle, a community labor struggle for the striking African-American sanitation workers in Memphis, Tennessee in 1968. Later we'll hear from the Reverend King himself in one of his last speeches, but first...
It was at Memphis that King fought his last battle for the black sanitation workers. We talked with Taylor Rogers, who was an active rank-and-file member of the union during that struggle and later, for 20 years, became the president of the local. What was your salary in those days?
About $1.50 an hour.
And did you have any vacation time?
No.
What about sick leave?
No sick leave.
And a grievance procedure?
No grievance procedure.
How were the work assignments of the white sanitation workers different than those of the black workers?
Well, they didn't have any white sanitation workers. The whites was heavy equipment operators. They dealt with the bulldozers and the big cranes and things. You know, it was a whole different ball game for them because on rainy days they still got paid. They would come in and just be there and they would get paid, but they would send us back home and we didn't get any pay.
When you actually went on strike, how was your family affected?
Well, they really wasn't because of the community and the leadership and the churches and everybody that came together to help those strikers. They provided food for us and we helped pay our bills and all this kind of stuff.
Was your personal safety ever in question during the strike?
Sometimes, you know, you would get threats, you know, nigger, go back to work and this kind of thing.
How did you pick up the support of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.?
Through Reverend Lawson, one of the ministers here in Memphis, he contacted Dr. King. You know, that was Dr. King's thing, was to help poor people, people on the bottom of the ladder. And he contacted Dr. King, and he came in. You know, he was at that time he was planning for the Poor People's March. He just put everything aside to come in and work with the sanitation workers. You know, people had faith and confidence in it. It mobilized the men that the ones that had begun to start to go back to work. When he got involved, that mobilized the men, and all those men that had went back come back out. And, you know, that helped mobilize this whole thing.
What did the struggle for civil rights and the struggle for workers' rights have in common? What joined the two together then?
Let me try to put it this way. Because it's all the same thing, you know. They were saying our strike was illegal, but all they were saying, segregation and this kind of thing, it all it means is a man is not a man. Whatever you say or however you put it, when it comes down to that, you know, it's just, you know, a man is not a man, and he don't have anything to say about his hours and working conditions.
Wasn't there an injunction that was prohibiting the workers from marching at that time when Martin Luther King came down?
The injunction came about after the first march that was violent, and Dr. King was determined to come back to Memphis to have a non-violent march, and that's when they were talking about this injunction. The only injunction that we had about going back to work was on the first time that we came out to try to get recognition, and then we had to go back in with that injunction. But the second injunction that they were talking about an injunction to keep from having this second march.
How did the terrible tragedy of the assassination of Martin Luther King on April 4th affect the strikers?
You know, the strikers were sad, but I think that because his death was the cause of the nation getting behind Henry Loeb and making him move off his stand that we couldn't organize.
How did the settlement of the sanitation strike affect the workers and also other workers in the municipal government? Did they organize because of it?
Yes. Yes, they did, yes. And, you know, we got benefits. I can't just spell out the specifics of it, but I just can't remember that far back. But anyway, we had a decent settlement.
And what about other municipal workers?
At that time, it was just 1,300 sanitation workers that went out. But right after the strike, and after we got recognition, then we organized the school board, the city hospital, Power Commission, and all other municipalities.
What do you think that the union movement has done for black workers?
It's done wonderful things. Like I said, you know, we moved up We got good wages, we got good benefits, and you know, it always can be better. But we do have good wages and good benefits at this time.
We actually are speaking to you on the national holiday of Martin Luther King's birth.
But,
in reminiscence, is there anything that particularly occurred to you today?
Well, you know, from Dr. King's way of doing things, you can always remember that he was for poor people. He was trying to upgrade poor people. That was just the kind of a person that he was.
We'd like to thank you very much for being with us. We've been speaking with Taylor Rogers, former president of the Memphis Sanitation Workers, and striker in those very early days for recognition of the rights of African-American workers in Memphis.
And now a selection from Dr. King addressing an audience of Memphis sanitation workers during the strike.
All labor has dignity. But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages. We built gigantic buildings to kiss the sky. We built gargantuan bridges to span the seas. Through our spaceships, we were able to carve highways through the stratosphere. Through our airplanes, we were able to dwarf distance and place time in chains. Through our submarines, we were able to penetrate oceanic depths. It seems that I can hear the God of the universe saying, even though you've done all of that, I was hungry and you fed me not. I tell you what you ought to do, and you're together here enough to do it. In a few days, you ought to get together and just have a general work stoppage in the city of Memphis. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights. And so just as I say, we aren't gonna let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't gonna let any injunction turn us around. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
In a continuing celebration of the life and struggles led by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., we've heard a speech by the Reverend King at Memphis with the striking sanitation workers shortly before his assassination, and an interview with Taylor Rogers, past president of the Memphis Sanitation Workers Union. This has been a Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report special report, filed by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
You can tune in to Building Bridges Monday from 2 to 3 p.m.